Hello, this is Dave Durr.
And I'm Chris McGraw.
And we're taking on 1 Samuel 8 today in our podcast.
Here we go. As Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, the eldest sons, held court in Beersheba. But they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, all of the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. Look, they told him, you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. So Samuel passed on the Lord's warning to the people who were asking him for the king. This is how a king will reign over you, Samuel said. The king will draft your sons and assign them to his chariots and his charioteers, making them run before his chariots. Some will be generals and captains in his army. Some will be forced to plow in his fields and harvest his crops. And some will make weapons and chariot equipment. The king will take your daughters from you and force them to cook and bake and make perfumes for him. He will take away the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his officials. He will take a tenth of your grain and your grape harvest and distribute it among his officers and attendants. He will take your male and female slaves and demand the finest of your cattle and donkeys for his own use. He will demand a tenth of your flocks, and you will be his slaves. When that day comes, you will beg for relief from this king you are demanding. But then the Lord will not help you. But the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king, they said. We want to be like the nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. So Samuel repeated to the Lord what the people had said, and the Lord replied, do as they say and give them a king. Then Samuel agreed and sent the people home.
Wow. That last verse there, verse 22, where the Lord replies, do as they say and give them a king. Samuel, of course, agrees and then sends the people home. But it just seems so final after all this. And after this history of God and his people comes down to this, just do as they say. Is that God's will? No, it's the people's will. What hit me was they're choosing really a king, a person over God. I just think that there's something that took place with them in this time period. How did they get to that point where they're saying, no, God's not enough. We need a man. We need a king like the rest of the countries we live around. Perhaps maybe it all started with grumbling. Grumbling can become contagious. We look for things to grumble about, and we look for people to join us in that grumbling. And sometimes we get excited when we can get a lot of people on the grumble bus. And I think that probably was happening. They were looking around and seeing that other countries seemed to be doing fine, so they were unhappy. They picked a man over God. I think that happens in little ways. This is kind of a big way, but it happens in little ways right where we live each day. Another thing is, too, there's this coveting thing going on. They see what's happening in other countries, and they covet that for themselves. It reminds me of an illustration that Steve was using, our son Steve, when he was delivering a message at the church he grew up in, and it was on coveting. We still talk about the fence he constructed with a hole in the center, and he used that as an illustration that we stand at a fence and we look through the knot hole at what is happening on the other side of the fence. And you know the grass is always greener on the other side. So we live at that knot hole. I think that's what was going on here with the Israelites too. They were looking around and thinking they wanted something totally different than what they had at that time and be more like the nations around them. Samuel made it very clear what lied ahead if they did go in that direction of having a king. But the people were impatient and they didn't really care to hear about consequences. Sometimes our impatience fly in the face of God's patience. It is hard to believe sometimes that I can be impatient with a patient God. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, it's great, great statements. And I often find that when I get into my impatience mode, my desires and desired outcomes and my selfish desires will often fly in the face of God's patience. And so that's a dangerous spot to be in. And I look back into my life, you know, 10 years ago, particularly in a position from a previous company that I worked for, there was a position that I really desired and more than likely desired more than probably what I should have. But I applied for the position, and it took four times to get to where I wanted to be in that position. But during those application times and during the times of rejection and being told I wasn't ready yet for those positions, God really worked on my patience. And he taught me that I needed to develop some skills. He taught me that I needed to go back to school. He taught me that I needed to hone in some of the distinctive qualities and features and character sets that I needed to have in order to fill that position well. And in leaning into that, into yielding to God's patience, I really realized that there were some benefits to that patience. And so developing, waiting in that patience, waiting in God's timing paid off for me. And so, you know, we need to be careful what we ask for, and we really need to be patient in God's timing, Dave.
Yeah, so good. And such a great example of patience or impatience, you know, and how that it can all play out.
So there are a few questions today. One thing to consider in the questions is where are some unhealthy desires or attachments that you or even myself may be holding on to, which are keeping us from a deeper and richer union with God. Where are my desires not aligning with God's will? Where are my thoughts and patterns of impatience or with impatience? What direction do I want to go? You know, does it align with God's desires? Is it an alignment with God's will? And is timing? And so I think that's a great question for us to consider.
Another question that arises out of this passage is, what often keeps me from placing my trust in God? What is it I'm trying to do more of myself instead of leaning into and trusting God to care for that particular need? What makes me feel like I have to help God in meeting a need, so I have to be there to help him? What is keeping me from surrendering that stuff that I'm holding on to and trusting God fully? I picked a word this year that, and I do that every year, but the word for the year for me to really focus on was trust. I thought, yeah, I talk about trust, I read about trust, but I want to go beyond that. So I came up with another word to put with it. Radical trust was what I chose, but because that's not a word, that's two words, and I'm a perfectionist. If I say a word, then I better have just a word. So I shortened the word radical to rad, and that's my new word for the year, rad trust. So if you see me around, just say, hey, how you doing with rad trust? That's the kind of trust I want, radical trust, where I just leave it all with God. Whatever you desire to do, I'm all in. So that's kind of what came through this passage as well. And I think it's a pretty sad state of affairs for the Israelites, and it can be a sad state of affairs for each of us if we follow through in the same way.
What's often keeping me from my place in trusting God, when you spoke of that question, right away the answer for me was fear. Where am I fearful in not placing my trust in God? And when I don't trust God, it's most often it's because I'm afraid of something. So as we close in the podcast, we just thank you for the time in listening to our opinions on this scripture. And we want to leave you with a prayer. Thank you for your love and care, O God, your patience and grace. Help us to keep our focus on you and not the world. Help us to continue to grow in this area of patience and totally trusting in you. In your name, we pray. Amen.